Hey, this is Tori. I want to welcome you to Keep Rising Together, the podcast. So my best friend Nicole and I, we really want this to be a place where we can just talk about mental health, we can talk about Jesus, and we're probably going to laugh a lot and be goofy. So if that's not what you're into, then this might be the wrong podcast for you. But yep, just buckle up and join us for this ride. We're always going to have fun and we're always going to just talk about those things that the Lord is laying on our heart. So thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you come back again. Are you here?
Hey guys, it's Nicole.
And Tori.
And Tori.
Hey. So tonight we're going to be talking about a topic that might be a little difficult to talk about. But it's super important. We're talking about trauma recovery. And there's just a lot of beauty in being vulnerable with experiences that you've had and realizing that real recovery comes from being able and being willing to put the work in. Mm-hmm. And just know that, you know, trauma recovery is not a quick fix. It's not something that you can go to counseling once and everything's fine. And so we're just going to be talking a little bit about that tonight.
Yeah, I think that's really important what you just said, because I feel like something that's been huge for anybody that's going through any sort of recovery is the fact that they need to give themselves grace. Because kind of like we're talking about this week, you know, like, it's not going to be this experience where you go from the bottom all the way to the top, and there's not going to be like any, you know, it's not going to be like smooth sailing the whole way up. You know, there's going to be kind of like how you called it, like jagged lines, you know, like you yeah. make some progress and then you plateau, and you make some more progress and then you plateau, and then you make even more, and you might even go backwards a little bit. Yeah. But you know, in that, like, don't like get discouraged, like, you know, just keep hanging in there. And you know, it may not get easier right away, but Tori and I are definitely proof that, you know, if you just trust the Lord and his timing, he'll make, you know, everything not smooth sailing, but, you know, more beautiful than what you could have ever hoped. So
yeah, absolutely. And just so, like, a little glimpse of my background without getting too many details. I've been in trauma recovery for about 7 years. And like Nicole said, it has not been smooth sailing. It has been very hard.
Yeah.
But I am very, very grateful for the support I've had, for the people who prayed for me, for the times that I just fell flat on my face and, like, spent time with Jesus, because that was the only way I was going to get through it. Mm. Like, it has been, like, literally the most difficult thing I've ever done. But I'm really, really glad I started when I did. Because looking back, it's so hard to even recognize the girl that I was. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of my own shadow. I was afraid of what people were going to say about me. And I was definitely terrified of men, most of all. Mm. And now, like, I gush about my husband all the time too, Nicole. Mm. But I am married to, like, literally the best guy ever. And just brag a little bit on him. But
just a little.
he gets me in ways that I never even knew were possible. Mm. And he just gives me grace all the time. Even when I'm a screw up, even when I'm a mess, even when I do things that are ridiculous, or I assume everything is going to go wrong and he's going to hate me and leave. Mm. Like, because he won't, he doesn't, he hasn't. I'm constantly amazed, like, at God's provision through my relationships, through just the connections that I've made you know, in friendship and in church and through counseling, and like, it's been incredible. So I just wanted to share a little bit about that with you all.
Yeah, I, you know, Tori, it's interesting because I kind of feel like what just came to my mind when you were talking about that is like, God gives us like space to like process what we're going through. And I think almost in some of that way, he gives us that space is like, he gives us people that walk into our lives that kind of give us that moment of, you know, like introspection and just like having those Holy Spirit like encounters that we're not even expecting.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny you mentioned that because, you know, like how you said something about how you would never recognize the girl you were before. Because I can definitely relate to that as well. Like, you know, kind of like how I've touched on previous podcasts about how I've grown up, you know, without having a dad and just all the things that kind of come along with that. You know, it's been a process of kind of just unpacking things and almost befriending the true person that I am because of the trauma of that father or daddy wound, you know, of lack of having one. And I know that, you know, kind of like you said, you know, looking back, like now you can't even recognize the person you were. Like, I know that even same for myself. Like, you know, I'm like, who is some, okay, some instances I have this and I'm like, I stand up for myself and I'm like, who is this confident woman? Like, where did she come from?
I love that so
much. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just like, all right, Lord, like, she's in there, you know, but, you know, you're just, because of your grace, like, in your constant companionship, you know, like, you're just continuously working that out of her. And I know that that's something I'm excited about talking about tonight with both of us is you mentioned kind of going deeper into like a couple of the instances that we've both had in our lives that kind of point more in those directions.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like you're saying, kind of along the same lines, recovery is kind of like peeling an onion. It's layers and layers and layers, and you think you're at the middle and you're like, okay, I'm good. I am, you know, everything is better. And then you're like, oh wait, there's another layer. And I feel like recovery from trauma, number one, no one else can say, you know, that you don't have trauma. Like, no one has that right. No one has the right to say that you're not traumatized by something, because if you're traumatized by something, you're traumatized by it. And no one else gets that state in your life.
Nope.
Number one. And number two, like, you giving yourself grace and allowing the Lord to like speak that grace over you as you peel those layers off, or as he peels those layers off, is tremendous. It's so crucial to trauma recovery.
Yeah. Like, I know something huge for me that I've been even noticing just recently in my own walk with God is like, he's been literally not allowing me to have any more like busyness in my schedule. Like, it seems like as soon as I like sign up like figuratively for something else that takes up my time, it's like the Lord, you know, just kind of, you know, very gently kind of just slams the door in my face and he's like, nope, because, you know, this is kind of where we're going through that onion phase right now of where, you know, you're learning to trust me as, oh, it's like my fiance calls him. I'm still not to that point yet. I'm getting there. He calls him his Abba. And so side note, you know, if anybody listening really does like have a hard time connecting with God as their father, like, I'm learning in that moment, like, hey, it's okay. Like, if you can't call him your father or your Abba or your daddy, he's not mad at you. Like, he gets that. He sees the traumas there. He sees that disconnect is there, and he's willing to sit with you in that. And I think that's really like important. But anyway,
that's a really good point. And I think busyness can be like a band-aid. And there's lots of band-aid fixes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's quick fixes. There's things that distract us, like social media, like Netflix.
Yes. Gilmore Girls. No, I'm just kidding.
Right? I love Gilmore Girls.
Me too.
Just a little shout out to Gilmore Girls there. Woo! But we live in a very loud, busy world. It's so much easier to find anything else to do than to sit in your trauma and deal with it. like, how much easier would it be to just be like, I think I'm gonna go watch Gilmore Girls again. So I have a metaphor. I love metaphors, as Nicole might tell you.
Yeah.
It's actually a metaphor that someone told to me when, spoiler alert, I was hospitalized a couple of times, in a behavioral health center. So, and P.S., those were some incredible moments of growth. Like, God did incredible work in those times. Mm. So I had this counselor who was this, I don't even know, I don't even have words. She was this astounding woman that loved the Lord with like every fiber of her being.
Mm.
And this was not a Christian hospital. So, but the Lord had just placed her there to minister to people because she had been through trauma and she had worked through everything and found purpose, you know, found purpose in helping others do the exact same thing. And one of the metaphors that she told me, I remember really explicitly, is trauma recovery is like a wound on your arm, like a big nasty cut on your arm, and it's full of pus and infection and gross stuff. And like, the last thing that you want someone to do when you have a giant infected cut on your arm is for them to push on it. But the only way to get all that crap out, the only way to get all that junk out is to push on it and to push out the junk. And I'm like getting chills.
Wow, that's like, crazy.
And it might hurt. It's gonna hurt like crazy. It's gonna hurt so bad. But you know what? Until you get all that junk out, even if the skin heals over, even if it's been 10 years and the skin heals over, you might still have an infection deep in your bones. And you might lose that arm if you don't take care of it. If you don't take care of an infection when you realize it's there, you risk losing that limb. You risk losing your arm. You could go septic and die. Like, it's not like a little deal. It's a huge deal. And that's exactly what trauma recovery is like in our hearts. Yeah. It's like our hearts get septic and they just wither when we have that wound in our hearts. And oh my gosh, Nicole, like when I met this woman, when I was at one of the lowest points of my life, and she is just confident and she's talking about how like the Lord has used, you know, has shaped her life by redeeming this trauma that she's gone through. I was like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be her. And I want to be so confident in who I am that I can minister to other people who have been through similar trauma. And like, that's what we're doing, Nicole.
Yes.
It's crazy. Mm. It's just like, it's crazy thinking about 7 years ago and sitting in that hospital and listening to this counselor help me work through all my garbage under my skin. You know?
Wow.
God can redeem everything.
Oh.
Everything. But it's, yes, it takes work. And there's no quick fix to trauma.
No.
Like, even 7 years later, 7 years into this process, I still have things that freak me out. I have panic attacks. I have, you know, depression episodes. I have moments where I have like a PTSD reaction and I like overreact to situations because it sends me into a panic and I get, you know, flashbacks or something. Like, but it's that layers. It's those onion layers.
Yes. Oh, girl. Wow. Like, you know, I could literally just picture you, you know, like being in that situation and just seeing you and just feeling kind of like how you felt with that, because I know looking back at my childhood, I had very specific moments of kind of just being like literally looking up at the ceiling and being like, why am I alive? You know, like, what's my purpose? Like, I literally feel like I'm just a shell, you know, existing. And looking back at like some poetry that I've written, you know, I actually had to like throw some of it away because it was so dark and just, you know, like hopeless. And but you know what I think is so beautiful is seeing like how Jesus like kind of like went into your story, and it's unique. Like, he, like, what were the odds of like a woman at a secular mental hospital having like the spirit of the Lord like directing her to like be used to help you? And you know, I look at my own story and I look at the little twists and turns and just like how, you know, I've gone from being this like very, you know, introverted, shy, you know, kind of very inner critical person to now being this person that is more willing to take risks and stuff and just be more confident and try new things and try different styles, you know, and put myself out there and meet a very amazing man. you know, sorry, totally spamming about that, but you know, as we both said, our guys are very important to us. Yes. And we'd hope to like one day do a podcast with them. That's a total bunny trail we won't go down because then we'll get distracted more. Speaking about distractions, but all like things aside, you know, I'm just really in awe of looking at the detail of God stepping into your life and like seeing how your heart is knit together and knowing how to respond to your heart's needs and where you were, and then seeing how the Lord like came into my story and he's like using very specific things. Like, I can look back, Tori, and tell you that the Lord literally kept my heart alive and my emotions alive by using animals, by using, you know, dogs and cats and, as you know, horses and,
yes, yes,
you know, stuff like that. And I literally felt like Jesus told me one time, like, I have allowed your heart to be on life support. And, you know, but like, he's just so beautifully creative in how he's coming into your story, into my story, and anyone listening, like, he's gonna come that way into your story, and it's gonna be beautifully unique, it's gonna be beautifully creative, you know, it's going to have a lot of ups and a lot of downs. But just kind of like we were talking before, like, just give yourself grace for that onion that needs to be peeled back, because it's gonna take time. And you know, like, I mean, the process, like Tori said, for her has been 7 years. I've lost track of mine. Like, I don't even know how long it's been since, like, I've started my own trauma recovery, you know, and started just pushing into that fear and looking fear in the face and being like, you know what, you're not going to control me anymore. And, you know, and it, you just have to have grace for yourself. And I hope that's really what this comes across for you guys tonight. Like, I hope that's really what you hear from us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting. I love how our stories have some cool overlap.
Me too.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm. It's funny. One of the things that I use to cope with a lot of my trauma, and the thing about the reason I say I can say 12 years, not 12 years, I'm sorry, 7 years since I started.
I've probably been 12 years.
It's probably been that long. The reason I can say it's been 7 years is because that's really when I got repressed memories that came back and I started working through them. But honestly, I've been dealing with the ramifications of the trauma I experienced as a child for many years. But I didn't know. Like, my brain stored it away for later. And like, the Lord brought these memories back to my mind at the right time. And but I will say, writing is one of those things that
yes,
probably got me more through. Yes. Like, I wrote poetry. I one of the things that I really enjoyed writing was fiction. And I and looking back on it, it's like so dark. It's like crazy how, like, but my little 14-year-old self wrote these like sweeping epic fantasy stories with some really dark stuff in it. And the reason I did was because that was my experience, like my life experience. And without even me being able to consciously remember, like, those were things that I went through, or they were similar to things that I had went through, and I was processing through my trauma. I didn't even know about it.
Wow. It's
incredible how the Lord uses things like that.
Yes.
And writing has continued to be something that I enjoy and that has been a really good coping skill for me. And I know, like, something that Nicole and I both really advocate for is having good coping skills that you can lean on when you're going through something difficult.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's going to be times where you'll get so overwhelmed with whatever trauma you're with.
Yeah.
And unless you have, like, those, like, kind of like bumpers and bowling, that's the only metaphor I could think of. But unless you have those bumpers up, you know, when you hit the ground and you start working through that trauma, it's going to be harder. It's going to be a lot harder.
Yes. Oh my gosh, like, I love it that you said something about positive coping skills, because I think a lot of people focus on negative coping skills, where it's like, instead of coping in a way where it's like to get through the trauma, they're coping in a way to numb the trauma.
Yes.
And thank you so much for kind of mentioning that, because I can see in myself definitely too. Like, I know the Lord has, you know, put it on my heart, for instance, to kind of, you know, to experience his presence in stillness. So kind of like you said, and I'm not like talking about hokey, you know, like you're levitating off the ground. I don't believe in that, you know. But like, I'm talking more about like taking walks in nature. Like, just sitting on the lake and just, like, breathing in the lake water. Breathe, you know, like, feeling, I don't want to get too technical, but when you deal with flashbacks for certain things, and, you know, of course, trigger stuff, I won't go into that. But something that actually the Lord taught me is a technique called grounding.
Yes, that's so good.
Yeah. And I did not know that was a medical technique until, you know, I looked it up and I'm like, what? So basically, it's kind of like you get yourself to orient yourself with your surroundings, like what you can smell, what you can see, what you can touch, you know, what you can taste, you know, what you can smell. And, you know, and I feel like that's even a good way for processing anxiety, because just like you said, Tori, anxiety is a huge thing for me as well. And I know nothing helps me positively cope with that better than like going on a long walk and just like sitting before the Lord and praying, or listening to like worship, or listening to 80s music and driving, you know, like having the windows down and let my hair fly, you know, just kind of fun little moments just in your personality, like actually enjoying your personality that you were given. And I think like even things like painting, or even like you talked about, Tori, like even creative writing, you know, is a huge outlet. I think that you need to give yourself like the ability to lean into, like, don't pressure yourself, you know, if, you know, you may actually like to do things like wood burning, or, you know, like drawing. I know that's not my strong suit to draw. Like, I'd probably be further depressed if I could try to draw, you know, I'd be like, this is not helping. But yeah, like, you know, or even like crafting. I know scrapbooking is super fun. Hobby Lobby, girl, I know that's a bad place for us both.
Yes, I like, could live there.
Yeah, but you know, just it's good. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's really good to talk about.
And I think you're one of the things that you're saying is like just enjoying your, like you said, enjoying your personality, finding things that you like to do with zero value to the outside world, like not worrying, you know, can I make a living on this, or you know, can I sell my paintings online, like don't worry about that stuff.
Yes, pressure is off.
I know something that's something I've struggled with in the past. I'm like, if I start this hobby, can it be profitable? And the bottom line is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You just need to, like, be willing to have fun. And, you know, whether that's driving with the windows down, blasting music, which I definitely do.
Yay!
Because it's just, there's just something life-giving about letting go. And, you know, when it's time to be serious and work through things, it's time to be serious. But I think it's also incredibly important to relax and enjoy exploring parts of yourself that you might not have given yourself time to do.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the best thing you can do when you're going through something difficult is to rest. And sometimes the best thing you can do is to, you know, go have a picnic, or go, you know, go find something that you enjoy painting or crafting. It doesn't have to be, you know, I think we're really, it's hard for us sometimes because, especially as women, we kind of have the pressure to perform
and
to accomplish. And if we're not, if we're not getting something checked off our list, then we have no value. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. So I rebuke that. There's like literally incredible value in sitting and enjoying yourself.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
There was actually a season of my life that kind of along these same lines. I was staying with a relative. I wasn't working. I was like, literally my only job at that point was working on my trauma recovery. And it was at almost a year I stayed with this relative, and I just took care of myself. I, you know, I spent time journaling. I spent time painting. I spent time doing nothing. And I felt, you know, part of me was like, I feel useless. I want to do something. I want to get a job. I want to, you know, X, Y, Z. But the Lord really just pressed on me, like, your brain is working overtime to get through this, and you need to let it do its job and just rest.
Wow.
So there's just so much value in letting go and resting sometimes.
You know, just to kind of piggyback off of what you said, I definitely think that our culture is huge on production. Like, you know, you look at TV commercials. I was just watching TV the other day, and I think I mentioned this to you. There was this, you know, commercial for Mother's Day or whatever. So maybe it was like more than a month ago. And this woman on there was being praised for like having two kids and having two part-time jobs. And, you know, it's this thing that's like crazy. It's like, of course, it's hypothetical, but looking at our culture and looking even at ourselves as people, you know, how often, like, do you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, what have I accomplished today? Well, what haven't you accomplished today? Like, it's more sometimes in kind of not doing as much, like, and getting out of that mindset, you know. And I love what you said about, like, your brain kind of trying to process, you know, going through trauma and going through all of that, because, you know, it's not to get too technical, but it's like your neurons are just firing left and right, and they're just trying to like keep up with like what happened. And, you know, I think that's why it's so powerful to just do something like we were talking about, like relaxing, so that our brain, you know, kind of like what you said, you gave yourself a year to like unplug and to just sit alone before the Lord and just kind of restructure, let him restructure your mind. And I think that that was very brave of you, you know, to do that. And I think, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe it is very true that God knows better than we do. That maybe we need to like allow ourselves to have, you know, somewhat of a Sabbath built in, you know, to our like monthly lives. Like, I know that's something that I think the Lord's been kind of talking to me about recently, is just kind of building in more of like a Sabbath. Like, and it's not this thing of like legalism of where you're like, oh, you can't touch, like, you can't like toast bread or something. But it's more like this thing of just like being intentional of resting and just like not allowing your schedule to be over busied. Because I will tell you, girl, like, if you try to fill your schedule with a bunch of stuff, the Lord, like, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but I've had it happen myself, where it's like I put a lot in my schedule during the day, and all of a sudden I have like people texting me saying, oh, I can't make it, I can't do this, you know, like, and I'm like, ah, like, you know, like, oh my gosh, this is sucky, because now, you know, I'm having to spend the whole day by myself, looking at myself in the mirror, you know, my most favorite person, sarcasm, you know. But it's always those moments that I look back and I look up to the Lord and I'm just like, thank you. You know, like, I needed that. I needed that moment to like go to the coffee house and look on the lake and just, you know, read like one of my favorite books that has nothing to do with trauma, or like one of the books that you've put on my heart to read that are like the harder things. And, you know, it's like that balance. That balance is super like hard to find, but it's like once you find it, you'll get that sweet spot.
Yeah, it is. It can be really hard to find, but, you know, when you do find it, it's like literally the best thing ever.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
So you're talking a little bit about neural pathways and your neurons firing in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, there's trauma recovery is kind of what it does, is kind of you have to rewrite those neural pathways.
Mm.
We have neural pathways that are forged by habits or by repeated occurrences in our brain. And, sometimes we can get stuck in those loops and we don't know how to fix them, but it's because we have these highways in our brains that have been forged over and over by repeated behavior. And whether that was something that was done to you, whether that was a habit that you've gotten into and you're having a hard time breaking, neural pathways that have been forged in trauma can make it really difficult to move forward. And it's only in being intentional about change that you can find change. It's like if you've been going left every day for 10 years, then it's going to take a lot for you to start going right. And, you know, you have to just, even if it's painful, even if it's difficult, just push forward through that pain and, you know, listen to the Lord and let him guide you in your recovery. Let him be the author of a new story that starts from rewriting those neural pathways.
Yes. Like, you know, kind of just going a little bit off what off you said, I know in talking to my counselor, she was telling me a couple weeks ago about, and I think I touched on this once a little bit before, but I'm going to go more in detail about it. There is a critic that is in your brain that, you know, has a place for when, like, you've been traumatized. And it's like this, like, watchman of, like, your brain to kind of keep out the bad things and to not process or deal with them at that moment. But then when you start to challenge, kind of like what, you know, Tori, you were just saying about those neural pathways and to kind of rewrite them and rework them, you'll come against that critic again that'll say to you, you know, oh, you're bad, you're horrible, you know, like, this person's bad, watch out for this person, they're gonna hurt you, you know. And it's like a lot of negative feedback, you know, in your mind. And first in that, like, give yourself grace, know that you're not the only one dealing with it, you know. And second of all, like, I know for myself, the more I've kind of learned to turn inwardly towards that critic and be like, I see you, but I don't need you anymore. You know, like, it's that internal acknowledgement of that being there that's kind of calmed more of that part of that process down. But, you know, I think until you can start to really go with the Lord in prayer and just be like, Jesus, like, you know, where are these points in my heart that I'm protecting, you know, and it's not a bad thing that your mind is doing that. It really isn't, because, you know, and I know we've talked about this a couple times, Tori, where it's like in trauma recovery, there's a part of your brain that literally the memories get frozen and you can't process those yet, but that's God's grace because it's not time yet. But once you have, like, you step, like my mentor, my other really good sister in Christ says to me, it's like, there's a season of grace that God gives you. And you step into that and the Lord's like, we're going to deal with this. It's going to be hard, but we're going to get through it. And it's through those moments that, like, you're able to see, like, turn back and look and be like, all right, Lord, like, you know, I see a little something growing here. Like, it's not big, but, you know, it's eventually going to be like a masterpiece. But it's like those little steps of progress, like, you know, and, you know, and kind of like Tori, like in your story, kind of going back to what you said, like, I'm sure that you had a lot of days of ups and downs when you were in that mental hospital. Like, I'm sure you had many times where you're kind of like, you know, I can see yourself make it, but then there's other days where you're like, you know, the struggle is real. And, you know, and yet here you are, you know, a beautiful woman of God. That's an amazing mother, an amazing woman, you know, amazing wife.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
But something I want to touch on that you had mentioned was our minds have this incredible capacity to protect us from things. Mm. And the red flags that we get when we are on the other side of trauma and we're experiencing things that scare us, things that make us angry, things that cause emotional reaction. Like those reactions have come from a place of trauma because the trauma had rewritten your brain.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden, even if it doesn't seem logical, which it often doesn't.
Nope.
you'll just see this red flag pop up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Something I wanted to share a little bit about, just, it's kind of funny, a story about one of those like red flags. And in this case, the color of the flag is actually purple. so I have the color purple. I have a very odd relationship with it. And it might sound really weird. but the color purple, without getting into too much detail, the color purple is something that I have really for a long time associated with something traumatic that happened to me when I was young. And it's just, you know, when I was younger, when I was middle school, high school, it didn't really bother me. But when I started going through trauma recovery, all of a sudden, the color purple bothered me. And it was like, if I saw someone, you know, wearing a purple blouse, if I saw the color, you know, the color purple, you know, in a store or on a car or wherever. And it was just like this fear response that would pop up in my brain, like, I need to run. And it sounds like completely ridiculous. Like, the color purple can't hurt me. But
or can it? No, I'm just kidding.
Or can it? You never know. It's a tricky color. But because it had, until I got to a point where I realized, oh, you know what? I think I know why this is bothering me. Mm. It's because of, you know, its connection to something that happened to me in the past.
Wow.
And I've had to really work towards embracing the color purple. And it's just like so silly. But there have been times where I found a couple blouses and I'm like, you know what? That one's really cute, but it's purple, so I'm not going to buy it. And I just, there's been times where I've kind of like given into it and let it bother me, and to the point where I've avoided it. Mm. And the Lord has been really gracious, but also really intentional with me about this. Mm. And in other areas of my life about trauma as well. I can share that another time. But it's really funny because I don't know if you've noticed, but all of the podcast stuff is purple. And there's a really specific
recovery
for that. Yes. It's because when I was designing the logo for the podcast, I was, you know, playing with the color palette and playing with things, and Lord was like, hey, you should make it purple. And immediately I was like, that's a hard pass. I'm not doing that. Here, look at this beautiful, you know, it's a dusty rose pink. It's really cute. It's very, you know, now I'm totally going to go with that. I made a logo and it's sat on it for a couple of days. And then I realized, you know what? It's going to have to be purple. Because, you know, this podcast stands for, it stands for community, and it stands for, you know, listening to the Lord and following him. And it also stands for facing down your demons and saying, yes, you know what? You're the color purple, and the color purple does not belong to my traumatic past. Yes. The color purple belongs to everyone and to everything. Wow. And also, purple is the color of royalty.
Yes.
Purple, you know, purple and gold, which are the two colors that I really primarily have picked for this podcast, it's royalty. They're yes, just associated with royalty. And I'm baffled that the Lord has taken this little minute kind of thing that has just bothered my brain for years and said, you know what? I'm going to redeem that and I'm going to show it to everyone. And
wow.
So it's funny, but like the Lord can just, he can literally use everything, even
yes,
the color purple.
Yes, girl. And even going to Golden Corral.
Yes.
I know, OMG. Like, Golden Corral, their rules, proof that Jesus exists. Just saying.
Preach, sister.
Yes, amen. Pretty sure heaven, like, my fiance's mom says it's going to be like a salad bar up in heaven. Endless buffet of everything perfection. Just saying. Anyway, before I go too far on that and we start talking about like half price Sundays or something, which if anybody knows anything, please send girl a line. But seriously though, I actually had a moment as well, which funny enough, kind of like what you said, Tori, nobody would think that, you know, Golden Corral would be a place that, you know, would be a trigger. But for me, it looked a little different. For me, it became the symbolic form of a child and a father's interaction. So just to give a little backstory, my fiance and I were having dinner one night, and we were kind of just talking, hanging out, you know, and he just starts talking to me about God's heart. And it was actually, funny enough, supposed to be for a friend that I was trying to help. And he said one word to me, and it just flooded my heart with emotion. He called God Abba, and that busted me. Like, could not contain my anger. All of my emotions started flooding back in, just being mad at God. And you know, like, kind of like Tori touched on, you know, that'll be for another time, kind of more of our backstory and everything about like our past and God just using it. But just for the sake of time, just to keep it short, God very gently almost turned my head the next like few seconds and turned my attention to the table to my right, where an infant and his dad were interacting. And he's like, this is how I want to interact with you. And OMG, girl, like, oh, it was on now. Like, I just, everything inside of me was screaming, like, just anger and fear. And this is recent. Like, this is what we're talking about, girl, right? Like, we're,
yeah,
we do this like thing where we're like down in the valley and up on the mountain, you know, and this was my valley, and it was a loud valley. But anyway, you know, ever since I had that trigger point, and that's what you kind of call those, it's like trigger points, you know, red flags are another way to say it as well, because you're kind of like, you know, you're looking and you're like, oh, you know, what the heck? But the Lord used that moment of vulnerability to kind of just, like we were talking about earlier, to say, oh, this wound's not healed yet. Like, you know, let's rip that Band-Aid off. Let's go deep in there again, because there's still an infection. And, you know, it's very important to allow your physician to tell you if there is an infection setting in or not. Because the doctor always knows. Like, doctors go to medical school, and the Lord is our doctor. He's our healer, and he can see into that wound if there's pus, if there's, you know, if there's like some sort of like weeping, a boil, something like that, you know. And we can try so hard to kind of just oh, Jesus, look at me, I'm better. You know, personal experience, it don't work.
Yep.
You know, like, you can totally be there and be like, oh, Jesus, like, I'm happy, I'm singing love songs to you. And he's like, yeah, but your heart's like in Texas and you're currently residing in Wisconsin. So, girl, like, we need to talk here. You're not really coordinating with me. Your GPS is broken. You're lost in a mountain somewhere. You know, but gosh, you know, just let him in.
Yeah.
Like, I know for me, you know, and I get emotional talking about this, but for me, the most vulnerable thing I could do is just be like, all right, Jesus, I'm not going to fight you anymore. I'm going to let you come in and I'm going to let you heal me. And I'm going to let you be that father to me that I've always desired. And, you know, you'll get to that point of where that onion, you know, and oh my gosh, we've talked about this before. We're like, dang it, I thought we were done. You know, I thought that onion was unraveled.
Yes. There's layer upon layer, and onions make you cry for sure.
I know. Oh my gosh. Yes, they do. And, but they make a good soup in the end.
That's true. You know. So before we wrap up, I want to share just a passage of scripture to just encourage y'all. And I am kind of like living in the Passion Translation right now.
Yes,
best if you ever. Haven't read it, one of my coworkers introduced it to me, and I don't even think I've heard God speak this loudly before. So I can recommend that all day.
Yes.
I just want to share a couple of verses from Psalm 34. And just because they kind of relate to what we've been talking about tonight. So it goes like this. Listen to my testimony. I cried to my God in distress, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Gaze upon him. Join your life with his, and joy will come. Your faces will glisten with joy. You'll never wear that shame face again.
Wow.
When I had nothing, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me, bringing his miracle deliverance when I needed it most.
Wow.
Like, I kind of want to cry.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Miracle deliverance. It's right there.
So wow. I just want to encourage you, you know, if you're listening to this, like, there is hope. It does get better.
Yeah.
It might be literally the worst thing ever right now, but, you know, there is hope. There's mountains to go with those valleys, and they don't last forever. Thank you so much for joining us on Keep Rising Together. Our listeners mean the world to us, and we pray for you each week. If you're struggling with thoughts of self-harm or suicide, or even depression or anxiety, I want to let you know that you can text the Crisis Helpline 24/7, 365 to speak to a crisis counselor instantly. It's super easy and free to use. Just text the word HOME, that's H-O-M-E, to 741-741 to get help right away. We love you and we're so grateful for you. Have an amazing week. Let's keep rising together, friends.